Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Ooh, yeah. Everybody wants a hero. Everybody needs a friend. Shoulder to lean on. Everybody needs a helping hand. Well, you ought to try Jesus. Said it's just a prayer away. See, he can make your burdens lighter. Turn your midnight in the day,
yeah.
He's so much more than a healer. When you're feeling kind of down, that is more than able. I know, I know he can turn your life around. Yeah, yeah, with more.
Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Reed Ann Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Roger Jones. I ask that you all stop whatever it is you are doing, that you find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. But before we bring Brother Jones onto the air, I'd like to open the line to prayer requests. Please press the number one on your phone at this time if you have a request. And when the last four digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on the call, that God will bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. Thank you. Caller 2542, state your request.
Good morning. This is the Janice Graham. I come to you again asking you to continue to pray for my grandson, Elijah.
That he do the things that the doctors them tell him to do,
and let the Lord to give him the strength in his mind to do the right thing and to be strong. And pray for me as a grandmother, my strength, my health, and his mother and the rest of the grand family. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller 3964, state your request.
Yes, good morning. This is Sister Pam Williams. I'd like to thank God for his grace and his mercy on my family. Thanking God for allowing myself and my daughter and her friend Morgan to travel to Savannah safely. Asking prayer for my daughter, Jayla. She has a doctor's appointment today, and they are planning to induce her tomorrow. So pray that all goes well. Also pray for my mom and my dad. Pray for, that God will continue to strengthen my family and comfort us. And pray that he will continue to intervene in our situations. And pray for Kennedy and Morgan for both of their health. And pray that Morgan will be able to find a dialysis center here in Savannah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next voice we hear will be that of Brother Roger Jones, immediately followed by our closing prayer. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurture. We appreciate you for tuning in, and we appreciate those of you that called in and made your prayer request known. We'll certainly be praying for you in those directions that God will grant you the things that you are standing in need of. It's another wonderful Monday, and we are thankful to God that he has allowed us our golden moments and to break the threads of our lives to roll on just a little bit further and to see a day that we've never seen before. We've been living in this pandemic for 2 years plus, and it's been very challenging, and some of us have journeyed through it successfully. Some of us have lost loved ones because of the virus and other illnesses. Some of us are still not back in worship and still fearful and of the pandemic virus, and we should be concerned with the virus, and we should be cautious and do all the proper precautionary things that we can do to prevent from infecting others and infecting ourselves. So we're concerned with the church, how the redeemed will demonstrate their faith through these trying times during the pandemic. And so what we have decided to do is to go to the book of James and get how the redeemed should demonstrate their faith. But what we want to do this morning is give kind of a brief introduction to the book. May not get completely finished, may have to come back next week, Lord willing, but the author of the book is uncertain, but most scholars have agreed that it is probably the brother of the Lord, James. There are three other men named James who are mentioned in the New Testament. One was the Apostle James, who was the son of Zebedee and the brother of the Apostle John. It is almost impossible that he could have been the author, for he was martyred by Herod Agrippa in about A.D. 44. This was some years before the letter of James was written. And then there was the Apostle James the Less, who was the son of Alphaeus and who was also the cousin of Jesus. Possibility, but so little is known about him that it is highly unlikely that he is the author. And then there was James, the father of the Apostle Judas in Luke chapter 6:16. Nothing else is known about this James, so it's unlikely that he was the author as well. Then we have James, the Lord's brother, well known by all believers everywhere. Being the Lord's brother was enough to give him a worldwide reputation among believers. In addition to this, he was one of the preachers of the great church in Jerusalem, which was the mother church of Christianity, James chapter 1. He was simply calls himself James. He needed no other identification. Everyone knew the James who was writing the letter. And the point is this: James, the Lord's brother, was so well known that any other James would have had to identify himself to keep from being mistaken as James the Lord's brother. Some argue that if the author was really James the Lord's brother, he would have mentioned that fact. A.T. Robinson had an excellent answer to this position. We don't care to quote all of that, but the church, from the very earliest of its tradition, has held that the author was James, the Lord's brother. And so we concur with that. And if anyone is listening and have other information that will bear out the fact that he was not the author, then we welcome that information. The facts about the Lord, James, the Lord's brother, point toward him being the author. Number one, he was a brother of the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, and Mark 6, verse number 3. He was an eyewitness of the risen Lord. In fact, the Lord appeared to him in a private conversation, or an appearance at least, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. He was among those waiting for the coming of the Spirit in the upper room. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. He was an apostle. He was probably appointed after his private encounter with the Lord, the risen Lord, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. But of all the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. He became the teacher of the church at Jerusalem. He probably assumed his duties when Peter left on his missionary journeys in Acts chapter 12, verse 17. Thereafter, he is by far the greatest personality in the Jerusalem church. He was one of the first told by about Peter's release from prison in Acts chapter 12, verse number 17. He was presiding officer over the great Jerusalem council in Acts 15. He made a great speech concerning what should be put upon the Gentiles should they be forced to obey the law of Moses, embrace the law of Moses, and be circumcised. And James spoke up and said that should not be the case. And the other apostles and elders agreed, writing a letter confirming what the scriptures taught on that issue. He was called a pillar of the church along with Peter and John. Paul was forced to discuss his ministry among the Gentiles with him as well as with Peter and John in Galatians chapter 1 and Galatians 1:19 and chapter 2, verse 9. He was one who received the offerings brought by Paul from the Gentile churches to help the Jerusalem church of the Jerusalem saints in Acts 21, 18 through 25. He was well versed in the Old Testament. And finally, he was familiar with Jesus' teaching. The epistle has around 20 quotations from the Sermon on the Mount alone. Well, the date that the book was written is between 48, the latest A.D. 50. The date is disputed. Some say it was one of the earliest writings, perhaps the earliest. Others say it is a later writing. However, the argument of the early date seems to fit the book more readily. The church is still described in its primitive form. In James chapter 2, verse 2, he uses the word assembly, which is the Greek word for the synagogue. And the elders of the church are mentioned, but the deacons and bishops are not. The elders of the church are mentioned, but the deacons are not. There is no mention of the Jewish-Gentile controversy, nor of the great church council held in Jerusalem, A.D. 50, Acts 15. The book is a picture of what primitive Christianity meant to a Jewish convert converted to Christ. It leaves one with the sense of birth pains of a great transition occurring from Jewish to a Christian way of life. Well, what was the purpose of the book? Well, the purpose of the book was to correct a corrupt faith that was rapidly seeping into the church. Many were professing faith in Christ, but living immoral and unrighteous lives. Their faith was profession only. a faith of license with little or no restraint upon their behavior. It also was, number two, to present the true faith of Christ, a faith of the heart. What do I mean by that? A faith that produces outward fruit. James's point is very simple. A person is known to be a Christian only by his or her behavior. What he or she does proves one of the two things. It proves he is a Christian or she is a Christian, or it proves that he or she is not a Christian. And this is the introduction to the book, and we're going to be dealing with this book because during this pandemic, we need the redeemed of the Lord to know how to demonstrate their faith in difficult times. And that's why we're addressing this book. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We trust and pray that the things that we've said has been in harmony with the truth of the book. We pray for all that are on the call. We pray for each other. We ask that you would give us the strength that we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherein you have called us. We come to behalf of Sister Janice Graham, her grandson Elijah. We pray that he will do what the doctor says and be obedient to that, and we pray for her health and strength. We pray for Elijah's mother. We ask, Father, that you watch over their family, grant them the things that they stand in need of. We come in behalf of Sister Pam. We thank her, Father, for her safe travel with her family to Savannah, her safe return home. We ask, Father, that you will bless Jayla, who has a doctor's appointment. We ask that doctor's appointment go in her favor. We ask that you bless her mom and dad. We ask that you bless Kennedy and especially Morgan, Father, who's looking for a dialysis center. We trust and pray that she would find those facilities to appeal to her kidneys, that she would be strong and her faith would be in thee. And, Father, we pray for all that are on the call this morning that may be going through some devastating times. We ask, Father, that they would trust in you and lean not into their own understanding, but acknowledge them, acknowledge you in all of their ways. Father, please forgive us if we've done things contrary to your will, unbeknowing. Bring it to our attention that we may rectify it before it's eternal and everlastingly too late. And that will be enough. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.